Reading from the book of Genesis. God put Abraham to the test. He called out to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only one, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you." When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Then he reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." As Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up as a holocaust in place of his son. Again, the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies. And in your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All of this because you obeyed my command." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? Christ Jesus it is who died, or rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say, they were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is taken from the Gospel passage. Jesus charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. can't contain oneself. I know that you probably have been in a situation in which maybe you personally have received some tremendously good news, or family and friend members have, and you'd like to tell somebody about it, but you've been given the orders not to say anything, at least for a while. It is really hard to contain oneself because you like to tell people, you like to share what's going on, but you can't. I'd like to turn to something from television that kind of illustrates this well, because I have felt it in my life several times in which I was told information and I couldn't reveal it for a period of time. You probably know that one of my favorite shows is Cheers, and I like to see the old episodes. But another TV show that I like from the past is Everybody Loves Raymond. And I've seen those episodes so much I even know the dialogue now whenever I watch it. And the one episode that I remember is when Deborah and Raymond were so much wanting to have a child and they were having problems conceiving. One day Marie came over to see Deborah, and Marie said, "You are expecting." And Deborah said, "No, I'm not." Marie said, "Yes, you are." And Deborah said, "Yes, I am." She said, "I just found out we're expecting." But she asked Marie not to say anything, especially to Raymond, because she had not had the opportunity to tell him. So when Raymond finally came home, you could tell that Marie was just dying to tell him. But Deborah was able to get Raymond off by himself, and she was trying to tell him out in the hallway when Marie burst through the door to say, "Deborah is expecting." She couldn't contain herself. She was so much wanted to tell him, and that ruined the situation for Deborah, who wanted to tell him herself. Can't contain oneself. And I use that because of what we heard in our gospel passage for today. Can you imagine that these three disciples, what they saw, this tremendous knowing the presence of the Lord, and yet Jesus said, "Do not tell anyone until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." How could they contain themselves? How could they not tell the other apostles what they saw? But that was what Jesus told them to do and made them not to say anything until later. We try to understand why. And perhaps there is a reason. It is customary that in the Catholic Church that the second Sunday of Lent, we read from one of the gospel accounts the Transfiguration, and this year is the gospel account of St. Mark, the earliest one. Things to note about the Transfiguration. First of all, Jesus takes three of the 12 apostles to go with him up into the mountain. Whenever you hear going up to the mountain, it was always a time and a place to meet God. We heard that in the Old Testament with Moses to receive the Ten Commandments, Elijah to speak to God. So it was always a place to go. You know that that is where you will find and speak to God. But as soon as they arrive there, we hear how Jesus was transfigured. He became as dazzling white, whiter than any human being could make white possible here on earth. Which tells us is that this is more now getting to the divine nature of God. And we hear how Peter is kind of spellbound. Here he is in this midst, maybe even realizing that maybe I'm in the presence of God. But when he does that, he said, "Let us erect three booths, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for the Lord." Elijah representing the prophets and Moses the law. But Jesus is in the middle. Now he said, "Let us set up a tent." Now a tent was a place where if you did not go into the mountain or there were no mountains available and you were on the plain, you would erect a tent and that would be a place where you could be with God. So he realizes is that this is something very holy and extraordinary. But once the voice of God the Father spoke to say, "This is my beloved Son," and you listen to him, it goes back to the way it was. All of a sudden, Jesus was alone. His transfiguration had changed back. And you would think, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus would tell them, "Now you tell the other disciples what you saw," but rather he did just the opposite. He said, "You do not tell anyone until the Son of Man rises from the dead." Why did he tell him not to say anything? We don't quite understand. Some scripture scholars believe this, is that maybe Jesus didn't fully understand who he was yet at this point, especially in the gospel account of St. Mark. But I am wondering if Jesus wanted to do this, just to say, you hold on to this. Because there's going to be times in which your faith is going to be put to the test, and will you still believe? Will this vision still be ever in your mind and in your heart and knowing what is to come? Or will it fade very fast? Because he knew that he himself would suffer and die. But he also knew, too, that the disciples themselves would come to the point of even giving up their life, and that they would they believe to the very end. This is what I think is important for us as well. Because each and every one of us goes through some trials in life. You know what they are. And even to the point at which your faith is put to the task and even tested, do you still believe? In reading a book prior to the starting of our Lenten season, this author of this book that I read for myself brought up two things he said would be important to remember during the season of Lent. First of all, quite naturally, is to know that we have sinned and that we seek forgiveness of sin and a change of heart, to turn away from the evil that we do. But he said we should always remember the constant love of God, because if we don't remember God's love as ever constant and ever faithful, we do not understand fully then the love of God, and that that love has to be found in our hearts. That love of God should also be emphasized during the Lenten season. As we heard in our first reading today, as Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. So I hope that you would use this vision and keep it before you throughout your life, that of the transfiguration. This is the power and the glory of God. This is the power and the glory that God has made known to us. And we hope that we will hold on to it no matter how things are, whether things are going well or we are challenged in our faith, that we will always remember the love of God, God's love which sustains us and calls us back to him as we seek a conversion of heart.